This is White Mountain Rescue Without a Trace. What part are we on now? It's been a few weeks. We've had a little delay.
9,
No.
11, 12.
We are on part. Well, I should have looked this up before, but now I'm looking it up now.
What
Part
time is
12.
on? Yeah, part
Okay,
12.
part 12. No, shut it down. Okay. This is part 12. Let's recap where we're currently at because we haven't played in a few weeks. We are currently doing the crashed chopper rescue, which has seen our first responders currently in the woods trying to discern if the helicopter crew is alive or dead. We've had some interesting experiences. Roderick met the White Mountain Hermit after almost getting attacked by some locals who seemed to be on the hunt for something. Speaking of something, Mike and Dallas encountered a hunter from the other world, a predator-like monster that they managed to drive off, but not before two more have stepped out of the surrounding tree line and are now pursuing them. And let's take a look at the conditions we currently have. Roderick is still marked by the chicken and stressed. Incredible. Mike is good. Dallas is an agent of Prism permanently and also battered and bruised. And Ellis Fogarty, the White Mountain Hermit, is disoriented and incoherent as always. Yeah, exactly. So let's get right back to it. I think we'll have left the cliffhanger of Mike and Dallas is seeing two more hunters arrive, and we'll do a hard cut over to Ellis and Roderick because Ellis had started to had led Roderick into the wilderness, like off the trail, saying peace and love. Can you dig it? And like to gesture him to follow along. So where is Ellis taking Roderick?
Probably to the I can't remember some of the features that you mentioned. Is the stream behind us or in front of us?
Yeah, here, let me pull up the detail. Yeah, so as a reminder, you guys are currently in the main section of the forest, tracking down this NFS crashed chopper. The terrain that we mentioned that you guys have crossed so far is either you cross on a rocky ridge. There's this logging road that you currently pulled Roderick off of. You're in the deep forest. The brook, I believe, is behind you. So that's back towards the extraction point. So you're kind of in the deep forest now, just moving through it. And actually, let's go ahead and talk about that. Actually, I'll set the scene here. Is you're walking through this dense forest of mostly pine trees that tower above the carpet of needles and various smaller trees and brush. The sunlight very weakly, through the overcast skies manages to pierce the canopy and small needle thin streams of light, kind of giving this dappled effect. Now, I believe I had asked this before for when we were doing Mike and Dallas's, but I'm gonna do the same paint the scene question for this part that Ellis and Roderick are moving through is that there is no easy access to this part of the forest. So what confirms that you two are the first people to walk under these trees in a very long time?
I think there are a lot of spider webs at person height. And so when we're going through, like the spider webs are we're breaking through the spider webs as we go through.
Yeah, and I think those spider webs are attached to like those like really small branches that come off trees, like that are like that will like break if you hit them, but they smack you in the face. So I think that it's this sort of barrage of tiny branches and spider webs that Roderick is just kind of hoping that Ellis is taking him somewhere relevant. But it's away from people who wanted to hunt him for sport, it seemed like, or hunt something. So this is better.
I think Ellis turns to Roddy and says, Four times. I said it four times. We got to get to the whirly bird. The whirly bird's down. Got to get there.
Oh, yeah. You know where that is?
Got to get there.
Oh, thank
seen God. Three times in a mirror. Seeing you, dude. You're rowdy. You're rowdy, dude. Let's get going. The whirly bird.
All right. All right. What? Okay. We can do introductions later. And he just, he at least knows what the hell Ellis is talking about. And he hopes he's actually going to get to the chopper. Ratty Roddy.
Ratty Roddy Piper. Very good. And into the forest you go. Let's cut back over to Mike and Dallas, who are now being pursued by a pair of newly arrived hunters. As they arrive on the scene, their weapons are immediately out. They fire these darts of crackling green electricity at you. I'm going to need the night move from both of you. Or sorry, the dangerous move from both of you, as you have two hunters bearing down on you. Mike, what are you afraid of happening? And Dallas, what are you afraid of happening?
Getting stabbed, like it's just there is not really much else to go mm-hmm. on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike, I'd have to argue with you because other than getting stabbed, I'm pretty sure what's worse is being caught alive in a net and then hung over on a spit over an open fire and cooked like a pig at a luau.
It's worse than that, and all, this is for both of you. They do take your skin before they kill you.
God damn it. You can live without your skin.
Oh no.
The way these guys treat it, yeah. All right. How are you currently dealing with this situation so I can discern what ability we're using here?
Mike is running away.
Gotcha.
I am going to utilize my small fire extinguisher to try to mask. Because exactly how you describe, this is like Predator. And in Dallas's mind, this is like Predator. So we have to make ourselves cold. So bring out the fire extinguisher and just start spraying it all over to mask our thermal energy and everything like that.
You're literally thinking based on the inspiration, so I'll give it to you. then in that case, it sounds like you're trying to do like composure to like, hide, like, mm-hmm. like you like kind of like throw yourself into a ditch, spray yourself down with foam, and then just like go very still. Okay. So you're rolling plus composure. You'll have disadvantage from being battered and bruised, but okay. Will be mitigated by the item. And then Mike, you are rolling plus your vitality. Dice okay. On the table, gang.
Okay, gang. What are we thinking? My ocean dice or my bone dice?
Bone.
God damn it. I should know better than to ask queer people these things. It's always going to be bones. Okay, not bad. Not fantastic, but not bad. That's a 3 + 3 + 1. That's a 7.
There you go. Okay.
Guess what?
What?
I rolled a 6.
Ah, shit. 6 total? Fantastic.
Yeah.
So Dallas, we see you sprinting through the dark forest or the darkening forest under the overcast sky, a dart shrieking by, stabbing into a tree line, a bolt of little green energy flickering across its surface for a moment, narrowly missing your head. You and Mike like split off and slowly begin to get separated just from the terrain and the way you're moving across it. You, slide down a little escarpment into a ditch with a little like some rocks that are nearby, kind of like throwing yourself to the ground. You very quickly rifle through your bag and see your little small fire extinguisher, and then you think about that really awesome movie you watched, Predator, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you think, well, I don't have mud, but I've got this.
You're one ugly motherfucker.
And then you spray yourself down with fire extinguisher foam. I'm going to say that your complication, is that As tempted as I am to say you have the condition Foamy, I'm going to instead say your complication is that the hunters do separate, and so one of them is still actively scanning the area for you. Like, having lost you on their radar, they break off, one continuing in pursuit of Mike, this other one now is moving around the area trying to find you. So you've got this danger in your immediate space. As for Mike, you're running. The wind is beginning to sting your lungs from the exertion. Your boot soles are stomping hard against the earth, and you are tearing it up, but you're not quick enough. You feel a sharp pain at the back of your left thigh, and you've never been tased before, but you're pretty sure this is what it feels like to get tased, as a sudden sensation just runs over your body, sending your muscles into painful spasms. You lose control of your legs. You hit the floor hard, and you see one of these darts is sticking out of your leg, flickering with green lightning that leaves this almost ashy ozone taste in your mouth as it lingers. And this hunter drops in a 3-point landing from the nearby tree line or from the boughs above, and looks at you through its mask kind of visor situation and lingers over you. And as it reaches down and grabs you by the front of your shirt, it hoists you up in the air. And through its mask again, it just says in its strange otherworldly language, "Gulamakital." I'm not going to kill you, Mike, but here's what your complication is from your six. It's going to take a moment for you to realize, but those darts do more than just stun you. That leg is never going to work again. You'll take the condition dead leg, as your left leg is now completely, you can't feel it anymore.
Okay. I'm going to take that because I do not have enough crowns for this.
Very good. Your left leg hangs uselessly underneath you. You realize the sensation of the pins and needles from the electricity going over you is fading into an absolute nothingness, not even a coldness, a lack of sensation. You just feel from your hip joint weight that just hangs freely and that you have no sensation of. And if we were to see underneath Mike's pants, we would see that the leg has gone kind of like ashen, like a little like very like dark, kind of like gray, as it has like died essentially at the point of contact and spreading. What do you do as this hunter is holding you aloft?
What do you want with me?
I think that's a great place to cut away. I think Roddy and Ellis should have more stuff going on with them. Ellis, you told me that your intention was you're going towards the Whirlybird, you're heading to the chopper. Do you know where it is?
It's like that away, man.
Yeah, it's like that away. Fantastic.
It's better than what Roger gets. Absolutely.
Stay focused, like in the woods.
I kind of love it. So let's just say that you two do arrive at the crash site. I love the idea of Ellis kind of knowing roughly the direction and arriving there. There is, I'm not sure how long it takes, Roddy, and maybe some doubt settles in, but sure enough, Ellis does lead the both of you into a small clearing in this forest that is present due to a rocky shelf that just keeps some larger trees from growing. The helicopter is crashed in this site, mostly intact, but the tail rotor and the main propeller are mangled beyond repair. You can see that the cockpit windshield is shattered, like buckled in, because like something like almost like punched through it, or like kind of like caved it inwards. Let's paint the scene. Neither the pilot or the forester are in the helicopter. What makes you think someone or something is watching you as you inspect the crash?
There's one of the headsets for the pilot is sitting upon like a rock that at glance it looks like the pilot's head, but it's not.
I think that with like crashed helicopters, like they do like have emergency like call outs sort of thing, and like there is sort of this beeping SOS signal, like you would have to be like, it's in sort of like the way you flip it on, you would have to be like alert and be relatively okay to like turn it on, but it never really got turned off. It's so that whoever turned it on in the first place had to leave in a hurry.
It looks like it's it didn't hit any trees, and it looks like it that it's in this open place on purpose, and so so it's like it's like laid out easy. You know, here it is.
A bounty. Look,
a crash chopper.
Oh. A crash chopper, just for you.
And I think that there is that instinctive tingle on the back of your neck whenever you step into this clearing, that something is watching you. It's that lizard brain tingle we all have, that there's something there, something bigger than us watching us. But Roderick does not give two shits right now. Because he's holy shit. I'll be damned, you actually knew where it was. And he scurries over to the chopper to make sure there's no one around, and of course it's empty. And that's a little better than what he was expecting to run onto, to be fair. It could have been a lot worse, especially with who he presumes is like a civilian around. He doesn't know this man, he realizes, as he turns back to him to ask, have you seen anyone come out from here? Like, or was it just, have you seen anyone else out here other than those weirdos, you know?
Rowdy. I mean, man. You gotta keep the volume down. You gotta keep the volume down, Rowdy.
Okay.
Look. Two things, Rowdy. One, this is probably a trap. Two, what did you do with the chicken?
How do you
eat the chicken, Rowdy?
How do you know I have it?
Keep your voice down.
How do you know I have a fucking chicken?
Seen it in the mirrors, the three mirrors. Wait, we gotta find these people, Rowdy. We gotta find them.
Yeah, we do.
Did you eat the chicken, Rowdy?
No, goddammit, I did not eat Hank Jr. What? Why the fuck am I even telling you this? Who are you? Who are you?
I'm trying to tell you what I can't tell you. The thing is that he can't tell you. He's just like,
okay. Yeah. Just,
I'm seeing who am I?
Okay, but.
Keep it down.
Keep it down. We're going to keep it down.
I'm looking.
Okay.
I'm looking for. So he's like looking around to see if there's like hunters in the trees, trip wires. Like he's looking for.
Yeah.
He's looking for the hunters.
Alice, why don't you do a search move plus your reason?
My reason?
And also you're disoriented and incoherent, so disadvantage.
Oh my god.
Well, let's see if he's got... okay. All right. That'll work. and my reason is zero. Okay. So I'm looking for the others. And the cool thing about my parasitic beard snacks is when they can when the others are in a close proximity, they start to really like, because they'd rather be on them instead of a human. So they really start moving around. So I'm going to use my
disgusting. I love it.
That's so nasty.
To counter, I'm just going to roll straight.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Thanks to my beard snacks. And I got a 7.
7. What's Roddy doing as Ellis is frantically looking around, scanning the tree line, not looking at the crash and all that, just like looking around?
Well, unfortunately, now he does like believe him in a weird, like, this is way, like, there's already people hunting for some sort of monster in the woods, which kind of sent up some red flags, all things considering. But this, the fact that Ellis knew shit, makes Roderick actually pay attention to what he's looking at. So he is looking at the crash, but he's looking at it from a different angle. He's looking at evidence of a trap, like this, instead of looking for where these people might have gone, he's looking for some sort of like booby trap. He's thinking wood devil type shit.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Go ahead and do your search move plus your reason as well.
My reason, 0.
You're stressed, so take disadvantage.
Yay. That is a 6.
It's a funny thing about looking for traps. You find one. Great news.
Oh, no.
You're looking around. Tell me a little bit about this. It's like how Roderick is looking around for traps. Set the scene for me.
Okay. So now that we know there's no one in the crash, we're in a different mode because he's looked at the seats. Whether they're bloody or not, it doesn't matter. The people aren't there. And so he's more looking around the chopper to see like if there's, because he remembers the pit traps and the crazy shit like that. So he's like, scanning, kind of doing what Mike did, like to check and see if there were traps in the woods. That's what he's assuming there are, that there's a pit trap somewhere here. Mm-hmm. So that's where he's looking, is down.
You've seen Home Alone, right?
Of course.
You know when Joe Pesci just steps on a nail on the stairs?
Yeah.
It's like you're like looking around, looking down, and like looking for a pit trap, and don't notice the caltrops that have been hidden amidst just like the detritus on the forest floor. A extremely long, thin, jagged spike that goes straight through the rubber of your soles and into the soft padding of your foot. This metal spike that just stabs into your foot. That's not the worst part. This thing has been coated in some kind of poison that induces horrific pain. So I ask you this, Roderick, what is the worst pain you've ever felt in your life, and how does it pale in comparison to this?
Burning alive.
Yeah, that checks out. We did see that. How does that pale in comparison to what you're experiencing now?
The nerves stop working when you burn long enough, and it just becomes numb and sort of a bone deep ache. This doesn't burn away any of the nerves. They just keep firing.
Then you will take the condition pain-inducing poison, unless you are bumping up your result with a crown or anything.
I don't have enough crowns for that.
All right. Then take pain-inducing poison. I assume you collapse to the ground writhing in pain.
Yes.
So before that happens, what Ellis will get from Ellis's little clue finding excursion, is, I got a clue for you. Let's see. What have I already given out to the group? Okay. Yeah. You are looking around. And then you hear something, Ellis, like a distant sound. Your ears perk up, your eyes looking around wildly. You realize you hear the sound of someone crying out for help, like the pained moans of someone who is hurt and in need of help. and you can like look out into the tree line, and a bit away, you can see that there is a person who has been tied to the base of a tree. That is your clue, this side character who's been tied to the base of a tree. And you can't really see much about them from the distance, but the complication here is you know that they were tied there as bait. So going to help somebody is walking into danger. Just so that's the clue, but that's the complication. Let's cut away. Dallas, you have a hunter stalking the area looking for you as you're lying in a ditch covered in extinguisher foam. What are you doing?
I think Dallas is sitting there. One second, because I need to make an edit.
You good?
To something. Okay. And so we see Dallas there, just sitting in this foam, looking up, and you hear Dallas say, "Here we are again, bro. Just you and me. Same kind of moon, same kind of jungle. Real number 10, remember? Whole platoon, 32 men chopped into meat. We walk out, just you and me, nobody else. Right on top, huh? Not a scratch. Not a fucking scratch. You know whoever got you, they'll come back again. And when he does, I'm gonna cut your name right into him. I'm gonna cut your name right fucking into him."
So we're just establishing that Dallas has fully memorized Predator and like has watched this movie religiously.
Yes, yeah. And you see Dallas is grabbing a stick, like a tree branch that is like obviously rotted.
Mm-hmm.
And then is like about to like try to attack this thing. And then we see a pair of eyes open in some foliage. Can I read my custom move and we can make any approvals or disapprovals if need be?
Yeah.
For this. Okay.
I forgot that you took a custom move.
So I wrote the move, "You are not in Kansas anymore. Chief Roseki isn't taking any chances on your safety. Things are getting too dangerous, so now he's by your side 24/7. Roseki moves into your home. Come up with his daily routine, a specific thing he does to annoy you, and a person from his personal life you've overheard him talking to. These are all things that I can do later. Add him to your personal items. He is never marked when used on advantage once per session." So this is a one per session thing to keep it from being too broken. After a die roll, you can choose to mark him in order to reroll one die of your choice. Narrate how he sacrifices himself to save your life.
Oh, I love that. That's great. I love that.
So I think we see Dallas about to move and then notices these eyes that open. And we see in what is in a ghillie suit with a gloved hand that goes. And then dramatically we focus up close as we see an arm sheath slowly pulling out a Bowie knife. And Chief Roseki is going to leap and try to stab this thing in the back. And I think Dallas is going to grab its legs, like use the stick to knock it and then grab onto it. And I would like to roll to attack this thing.
Absolutely. You can't. Love the idea that we just see Roseki is just caked in camouflage paint, ghillie suit, like
mm-hmm.
crouched in the woods for on a mission. This will be a plus composure. Not composure, sorry, vitality. Vitality. Because Roseki's taking the lead here on this, I'm not going to give you disadvantage from battered and bruised. Okay. So you can just roll with advantage because you're using him with once per session. So
perfect.
Go for it.
I've got a 0 in vitality, but I got a 6 and a 5 for an 11.
Hell yeah. Go ahead and I was gonna say that this is absolutely the dangerous move. I think we already knew what was gonna happen. So go ahead and just narrate to me how this hunter gets taken down and killed.
I think there is the knife leaving the sheath makes a snicked noise that picks up the hunter, and the hunter turns towards Roseki, already leaping for this thing. And then you can see in slow motion where the spear is about to be brought up, and then you just hear Dallas go, "Motherfucker!" And then just hit the thing in the back of the knees with a rotted like stick. It splinters everywhere. It stumbles the creature enough so that the spear goes down, and Roseki lands on top of it and does like a 1, 2 into the neck, 3, 4, and then like rides it down, and then finds another underpiece of its armor and just starts stabbing in different places and like weak points of the armor, and then stands up and looks around and says, "We gotta move." And then picks up Dallas and starts dragging Dallas behind.
Cutting over now to Mike. You're being carried through the woods by this hunter as it is gripping the front of your shirt. And your words hanging out in the air of like, "What do you want from me?" We see that it like is taking you, hefting you up and moving forward into the darker tree line, where it opens into abruptly two very large standing stones with a third laid across the top, forming kind of an arch. They are gray with spots of green lichen and moss growing on them. You've never heard of these before, and you know that these are not on the map of the area. Let's paint the scene. These are similar to some of the standing stones at Stonehenge. What makes this feature unlike the standing stones of Stonehenge?
They have a metallic shimmer to them, a little like bronze.
B knows the assignment.
I think going a little off of that, but Mike can smell the tinge of copper in the air.
Instead of being like two equal stones with one on top, one's a little shorter, so it's like at an angle.
People describe trees and tree branches as canopies all the time, but this is an actual canopy of trees where you can see that there are almost like limbs and branches growing out of the top of these stones. These stones are so old that they have trees growing out of the top of them.
I want to make sure I describe this camera shot accurately. So when you arrive, this thing is essentially pacing in a circle around these stones to get from one side to the other. So imagine, if you will, follow along with me here, you know, camera shot looking at the archway, just seeing straight through the other side of it, you know, just open to the other side. As we rotate around, when we get to the other side and we can once again see through its center, we see that from this angle, there's a set of stairs going up on the other side. And it is holding you aloft in front of this archway as if to signify it's taking you up the stairs, Michael. You're going up the stairs.
Oh my God.
I believe, by the way, you have a crown that needs to be narrated.
Yes, from last time.
This feels like a perfect place to narrate that crown from a dramatic irony perspective.
Yeah. I think after the funeral, I think Mike really sat down to think about how to take care of this forest once and for all. Because there is something attached to it, something warming itself into the ground. And it has to do with his family. He just knows it. This has happened before. It has to. It's the reason why he's always been so very alone in life. There has to be some sort of meaning for this. And I think I think we see like a scene of in his apartment, and effectively like his living conditions have downgraded effectively. Like the place is a mess with like conspiracies and books and just all sorts of history about this forest, about the Whateleys, about everything, and about like how to work the camera. I think we cut back to here and now. I think Mike is trying to like rack his brain for any sort of way he could do. Get out. You've met me before, haven't you? I'm Whateley. You've met me before. We've had dealings, yes?
Fascinating attempt. What are you afraid of happening here?
Just because this being may have met a Whateley before, it knows I'm not the same Whateley.
Worse than that, it's going to take the camera from you before it sends you to the other side. You're going to roll plus presence.
Oof. That's a zero. And I really don't have anything I can use at this point. Let's go. That's better. That's an eight.
An eight. Fantastic. It buys you just enough time where it stops at the mention of the name Whateley and seems to, you can't really discern much about it from its, facial coverings as, and its dark eyes that glare out at you. But there is a pause there for a moment as if it's weighing something in its mind. But that pause buys you a moment because you hear the sounds of an ATV tearing through the forest and other shouts as a arrow fires through the woods and strikes against the faceplate of this thing. It drops you to the ground, and looking up, you see that there's a group of men in the woods, like flannels and trucker hats, and an angry mob of people who are armed with bow and arrows, and they look like they're, fucking pissed. Like one of them has a chainsaw, and they're like fully like yelling, "There it is!" And they are firing shots at it. You get dropped to the ground hard. And I think your complication is just going to be that you are in the middle of now an active firefight between these vengeful hunters and this otherworldly hunter who begins to fire shots off of these darts and is lumbering towards them. The 7 foot tall supernatural hunter is moving towards these this little revenge posse who have showed up. This is the same group that Roderick encountered before that Mike is seeing for the first time. But you have one leg that's not functioning as you drop to the ground. And I mean, like, this hunter is going to make probably decorative gore out of this revenge posse, but it did buy you time. What is Mike doing?
Because like it's no longer holding me, and like it has its attention on the much weaker people. I'm surprised that they didn't bring actual guns and are just using bows and arrows and chainsaws. Oh my God. But I do have my handy dandy service pistol, so I'm gonna just pull that out and start firing. So like tag team it, baby.
I like the idea that because there's already these and by the way, I should say these are compound bows, like the like these are like the heavy duty fucking, like, these things could like penetrate armor. Like, they are extremely lethal. I'm gonna say that because you have this revenge posse who are actively engage in this thing and its back is to you, I'm going to de-escalate this from the dangerous move to the risky move. So what are you afraid of happening here?
I'm afraid that Mike will not be much help in this situation, and these guys are just going to get killed.
Yeah, makes sense. Roll plus composure.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, well, you are armed and dangerous, so you do. Yeah. you're not using the high powered rifle, so therefore you wouldn't get advantage. But you can mark your service revolver.
Service revolver is already marked, this is just fictional positioning.
Love it.
Oh, my dice are keep getting better. Composure. Okay, that's 11.
An 11, very nice. Go ahead and narrate what happens.
I think as like this creature is sort of throwing its darts at like this this ATV squad who have foes and whatnot, they're just fast enough to like keep out of range and just dodging stuff. And like I think Mike pulls out his service revolver, aiming at this creature's back of the head where it's not covered by this mask, and starts firing off shot after shot and until it falls down onto the ground dead.
Fantastic. Leaving you alone with these hunters as you fell one of these creatures. Let's take a 5-minute break. All right, so let's go back to the crash site where Roderick has just fallen over in horrific pain.
I have a plan for this. Of course, that's not what he says. He doesn't really say anything to this man. He's trying to scream quietly. Because no matter... Clearly, this dude was right, and this sucks really, really bad. And so he's just gritting his teeth and rummaging through his bag. He's like tossed his bag off. He's like rummaging through it, fucking sweating. And he pulls out a bottle, and I have a move, Private Stash. It says you have quite a collection of recreational and medicinal pharmaceuticals. Three times you can pull out a specific medication or drug and place them in your personal items. And hydrocodone combined with ibuprofen takes about 10 minutes to start working, and it is a very, very good acute pain reliever.
Very fun. You can
will you allow this?
Well, yes, because you can mark it and pull out your little and add to your personal items. What I will say is, obviously, the fictional positioning of having that item, you still have that condition, but it does allow you to bring the pain down to manageable levels for the time being. Yes. to numb yourself. But I will actually say that did you just out loud tell me a moment ago that you were screaming or no?
Quiet screaming. It's like,
okay, never mind. Cool.
So he probably does make a noise when it happens, though. I will give you that as the keeper. Like, he's not a fucking Terminator. Like, he definitely made a noise that was very unpleasant.
Well, then Alice can clearly hear, regardless, that something happens to you. So, Alice, yes. What are you doing, by the way? You had noticed this person out in the distant woods, bait for a trap, most likely. But then Roderick falls over in pain and then seems to be tending to his own wounds.
Is the person that's tied up, can I tell if they're a park service employee or helicopter pilot or something like that?
I'd say that it was a little difficult to tell from a distance because they were kind of far out there.
Okay. He gets down in a crouch, almost low crawl, and he's coming over to Roddy, and he's like. Gotta go.
Motherfucker, just give me once.
He starts slowly dragging, as you're working on your leg, you see one hand reach around and grab your pack and throw it on your waist, and then you feel yourself dragging away from the...
What are you doing?
Keep working.
Doing good, dude.
Oh my god.
And
Oh my god.
Doing good. Doing good.
Okay, where are we going?
We're there.
I need to...
We're there. We're there.
Oh my god, I'm gonna die out here.
I will remind you, Daniel, just in case, just so we're all aware of this. So you are, don't forget, you do have Master of the Stairs that you can utilize once per session as well. Just remind, throwing that out there since you have.
I was looking at it. I was looking at it, but I don't think I can take. I don't think I can take Rowdy with me.
True. Just that's fun to keep in mind.
You're so nice.
Yeah,
Dallas. Where is Rizeki taking you?
I think Rizeki is leading me, like being like, just trying to get away from this area, mm-hmm. getting away. And then I stop Rizeki and I'm like, Mike, we have to find Mike. And I think that's when we hear the gunfire and everything mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dallas eyes light up and looks at Rizeki and is like, we have to get Mike.
There is a darkening of the sky as the rain goes from a slight drizzle into a slow increasing downpour, almost a peal of distant thunder to emphasize your words as we transition over to Mike Hester's lying on the ground, gun still smoking. One of these hunters, this guy with we've seen him before, but he is this guy in a denim shirt with the sleeves cut off, wielding the compound bow, and walks over to you, standing as the rain increases, and offers a hand down to you and says, "Are you hurt?"
I cannot feel my leg at all, so presumably yes.
Fucking, all right. Hawkins, give him a hand. One of the other members of the posse walks over, and a couple of them do have firearms, but they seem to have been prioritizing the bows that a few of them have as well. Actually, it looks like one of them has some dynamite strapped into a bandolier. And this guy that he called Hawkins just like picks you up and like arm around your shoulder, like looks at you and says, and then looks down the hunter almost in like disbelief as this guy says, you killed it. But like they almost say it like they're not like believing it, like, and like one of them like nudges it with its boot, and one of the other ones says, I don't think it's dead, Dutch.
Well, then we need to leave.
The guy who is at the head of the denim shirt, he just goes, nah, we ain't fucking leaving until we know it's dead. And he like pulls out he goes to like one of the firearms, a hunting rifle that one of his other friends has, and like pulls it out and like nudges its head with like the barrel of its gun, of the gun, and is like, just gonna like hold it up and fires like a shot into the base of its neck, and then another one, a second shot, just double taps it, and there's like a moment of stillness in the air, kind of like swallows, just very hard and dry.
Okay.
I think it's dead. Shit, yeah. Fuck you, he yells at it down and says, fuck you. And one of them like kicks it hard, and they seem to be very angry and irritated, but are celebrating at the same time. Very hard to make out what's going on with their mental state at the moment.
Like, how long have these things been out here?
They, when you say that, they look at you and go, "These things." And the guy with the denim shirt looks at you like, "Are you telling me there's more than one?"
Yes, there's this forest has a lot of things in it, and I'm referring to just these specific things.
They look at each other, and says, let's see. But he says, Blaine, you didn't tell me there was more than one. And the guy with the denim shirt says, I didn't know there was more than one. I thought there was only one. Well, then we can't. Then we're not fucking leaving yet. We gotta find the other ones and kill them too.
Yeah. Well, you've been hunting this for a while now. Like, can you tell me at least what's going on? Like,
fucking come with us. Jeez, get. You can't move. They're moving back to their ATVs. They're like, we're gonna take you to our camp. They like sling you onto the back of their ATVs, and they drive off. Let's see here. Now we have a bunch of divergent first responders. So this is really spread out at the moment. Let me see here. We currently have 6 clues for complexity 8, so we're still a little bit off from answering that. Yeah, they take you with them, Mike. Hold on. I'm just reading something up on.
Trying to find out where the camp is at.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find out, if I want to use this one location or a different location. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this location I was looking at is not their camp, but because I'm going to make that more ominous. They do take you to this just like a spot in the woods, just where they have like hunkered down. They have some like beer coolers, but also like boxes of ammunition and like arrows. And they're not camping out here. So when they say camp, it seems to be where they're had like positioned themselves for like their supplies and where they've been kind of like operating from. A little forward operation. It's all amateurish. Like these are just like locals who are like out here. And the one in the denim shirt, his name is Blaine Phillips, who they're restocking after that tussle with the one that they just felled, is explaining to you. And he's like kind of like currently like loading new bullets into a gun. And he just says, look, up until about 10 minutes ago, when you told us that there's more than one of these things, we thought there was just one. Saw it kill our dad. He gestures to two of the other ones, goes, Billy and Dylan. He goes, yeah, we've been out here looking for that thing because the cops didn't do shit. They told us it was a logging accident. Well, we know that a chainsaw can't slice a man's head off the way it did that to her dad. So we were out here looking for a good old-fashioned revenge. Thought we just got it, but now you're telling us that there might be more of them. So we are of the mind that if the police aren't going to do fucking shit and believe us, we're keeping the woods safe and getting some good old-fashioned revenge. So either you're with us or we're going to leave you behind while we continue to hunt these things down and take them the fuck out.
Yeah, I know. I came into these woods to find a crashed helicopter in the area. And I'm wondering if, like, these two scenarios are just connected with one another, because, like, so far, there hasn't been any calls about people finding the wreckage, and I'm wondering if, like, these beasts, these monsters, are just hunting down the survivors of that crash. So...
Hey, Mike, why don't you also do search move plus presence just to see if you get any clues from talking with these guys? I will remind you all, by the way, you do have radios. So, like,
Noah has called me. Like,
I
like,
forgot we had radios.
That's why I'm reminding you guys right now.
Yeah. My radio's made out of rocks.
Perfect.
Like, doesn't have signal on this side.
Like, no, I can understand Dallas because they were running away as well. But, like, Roderick hasn't called anything in, so like
I'm busy.
God. Okay. That is presence. That is a three. I can't find clues for shit.
So three.
Three.
Okay. I'll get back to you. I need to think about how bad things are about to get for Mike.
How will I make about? Things worse? How can I make things worse? Because like I think I do want to use never seen anything like this before and use and find a mountain clue. So.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Okay, sure. Let me take a look at my mountain clues. Because the last one we got was when the two other hunters arrived. So let me see which ones I have. Oh, that's a good one. Let's see. Oh, these are all so good. Thank you, Daniel, for providing these. You know what? I gotta do this one. Because you had said it before that there are more things out here than just, you know, there's a lot of things out here, whether, you know, more than just these things. Is while you're chatting, there are shouts of alarm. And you hear a couple of shots go off from the other hunters, and there's a panic. And you see charging through the woods is the single largest boar you've ever seen in your life. A massive porcine creature with curved ivory tusks that is charging through the woods and seems immune to firearms as the shots just ricochet off of its thick hide. And in a panic, people are running away, hopping back on ATVs. You're probably getting dragged along for the ride as well. Mm-hmm. But it becomes evident that it seems to be herding you all in a specific direction. That is the mountain clue that you get here. On top of that, I'm going to say that it just gores a few of the revenge party as well. Takes out like a good half of the group by just like ripping, like, you know, piercing them with its tusks, like it like trampling over them. I'm going to say it kills about half of them, leaving just the original group. Yeah, Dutch and Hawkins are ripped. Like, yeah. You hear, like, Blaine yell, Dutch! As, like, this dude just gets, like, just, like, ripped in half, viscera and gore spraying over the trees. Seems to be hurting you. And that is the situation you're currently in.
I'm going to put on a crown because I do not want Dutch to die.
Do you want to put on one of your crowns, or do you want to use the crown of the predator?
I'm going to put on one of my crowns.
Which crown do you put on?
The Peaks of Truth.
Jesus Christ.
I would take Obsessed with the Mountain.
Mike Waitley is two masks away from character retirement. Damn. All right. In that case, then, you'll get an extra clue with the complication. Let me take a look at the clue here. I mean, the boar's still shown up, so that's still a problem we have to deal with. But at least now it's not actively murdering the rest of the crew. So Dutch, you don't see Dutch get killed. Let's see. There's so many good options I could have here, but You can see that there is a t-shirt, like a scrap of like a white t-shirt with some blood stain on it that's actually like hanging from one of the boar's tusks. And now you have this boar charging after you, and Blaine is getting quick to throw you. You know, he had you seated on his ATV still, so he's hopping on and taking the fuck off. So you guys are on ATVs with this, like, revenge posse being herded slash chased by this massive otherworldly boar. Honestly, this is a bad situation. I feel like this is, I'm going to trigger the dangerous move just on the account of the fact that, like, what are you afraid of happening here? Should you just absolutely lose your nerve?
I'm going to fall off the ATV.
It's worse than that because the boar is here for you and will, you know, you'll be fully focused on by the boar.
Mm-hmm.
This will be plus composure. I don't think you have disadvantage.
Yeah. It's ball on the floor. It's a game.
Pick out dice that aren't cursed.
Just get new dice, honestly.
Just get new dice.
Okay. That is a 7.
7. All right. I'm going to say that just in the hard retreat ride, you're going to lose an item. I just think that your supply of flashbang grenades falls from you in the escape on the ATV. You just see them clatter to the forest floor and you lose those. Otherwise, you're kind of like holding fast in your composure. At any point... is anyone going to talk over the radio?
Yes. Yeah.
Both of us, probably.
Let's talk about that.
I think we're running. I think we hear Dallas is going to be like, I'm hearing reports of gunfire. What's happening out there? There's these two things that that they were chasing after Mike. Mike, are you okay, Mike? Over. Fuck, over.
Still kicking, still running away, effectively. I'm on a back of an ATV, with this crew of people with hunting bows. Yeah, we're being chased by a boar now. Oh God,
Roderick is like, what the. Where are you two?
I don't know.
Where are you? We will just meet up with you since there's two of us. Where are you?
I found... Jesus Christ. Oh, 1 second. I found the chopper, and someone else who knew where it was.
Oh, good. Survivor.
No, some other guy. I don't know who he is. They're not... Don't come where I am, please. It's some sort of... God damn it. Oh, some sort of booby trap. I don't know. I don't know. Are you two? What things are chasing you?
A boar.
Other than that.
A hunter.
What? I saw like they split up, Dallas. Mine is dead. How about yours?
Rezeki found me. Ours is dead too. I think that might be it, maybe? Did we find the helicopter crash? Did we find the pilots or anything like that?
No, and he looks over at Ellis while they're talking about this hunter and just mouths, what? Like, as if Ellis would know what the hell this meant, because I'm sure you can hear the comms, like...
Once per session, I can give us a clue about whatever the phenomenon is, and that's when I do it right now.
Yes! Hell yeah!
It's, I don't know if it makes any sense to Roddy. But I'll let Alex tell us what clue.
Oh, okay. I get to give you a clue. Well, what move is this?
It's my trapped in vertigris, where once per session, I can give a clue based on the phenomenon.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Yeah. Here, let me look at my list. That's fun.
We need this clue.
Please. Yeah, right. let's see. There's a lot of ones here. Yeah. Which one's already given you guys? All right. Okay. I'll let you decide how you present this. I'll go with the clue of I mean, honestly, I'll keep it the bronze dagger-like darts that they've been firing off, you know, one of the, you know, the ones that get left behind. We've seen them like sticking to trees. So I'll give you that clue. You can say what that has to do with it, but yeah. Bronze dagger like darts.
The clue's the darts.
Mm-hmm.
Rowdy, Chicken Man, listen. Yeah. The hunters, he's shooting bronze darts. Keep your head down. The hunters. They're the others.
Oh shit. These hunters, they're not the guys you ran into, right? Because those are just like civilians.
Okay. Yes, I ran into the civilians, and no, we're okay on that front. I did not harm the civilians, but however, no, like there's these giant masked creatures in the woods that are hunting us down.
Cool.
They're throwing darts at us.
Hawkins's ATV hits a ditch in the forest floor that sends him vaulting over the handlebars and body first into a nest of hidden bronze barbed wire that he gets tangled up in with an extremely horrific, painful yell as he is in a tangled nest of a barbed wire trap.
Did we hear this?
You hear screaming over Mike's comms.
Yeah, and Mike is not responding as Mike tries to pull the ATV over to like try to help this guy.
He is like tangled up in this net of like sharp razor bronze wire that has seems designed almost to not kill. This seems like it's intentionally to cause pain. Like, let's actually paint the scene about it. Why don't we? Like, how is this trap clearly non-lethal, but almost rigged to make sure it causes the most amount of pain possible?
Have you ever seen a mist net?
It's no.
They're these nets that they use to catch birds or bats in the field, and they're almost completely transparent, but they're really soft, so they don't hurt them. Mm. This is built with this super soft, transparent, other than the barbed wire, like it's the barbed wire is woven into this, so it doesn't like strangle them or anything. It's just to sort of hold them there.
Oh, it's like that like pink insulation foam where it's like this will cut you the fuck up, but like mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha.
You know that irritant that fiberglass has on it to keep you from touching it, because it like it almost has like this numbing itching effect when you touch it and everything like that. That's what the barbs on this wire has on them, so it makes you struggle more and get more tangled.
At the bottom of how they're set up, the tension's tighter, and so it's tighter on your lower extremities than it is on your to keep you from running than it is on your upper extremities.
I think Mike has like some utility tools, like just some clippers and whatnot to like help, like in case like people set up like wild bear traps or anything of that nature to like help free people who accidentally trigger them. This is not only painful for the person trapped in here, but also for Mike trying to like free them, because like he has to hold like the barbed wires in his hands to like even get like any handling of like cutting it out.
Awesome. I mean, you get Blaine to pull over. What are you trying to do to help Hawkins from in this trap?
As I just said, I'm drag myself to over, and I'm just trying to like cut it out. I'm trying to get Blaine to, like, Blaine, do you have anything additional?
All right, you're gonna get help. I'm gonna say that this is gonna be the risky move. I think we know. Well, what are you afraid of happening here?
I think Bling is just going to pick me up again, toss me back on the ATV, and we leave Hawkins behind.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's pretty rough. I'm going to say that this is plus composure, honestly, because it sounds like you were being more like deliberate and like trying to like cut him out of there and be like calm about it. And not be like, and not like forcing it. I don't think you have disadvantage because you are obsessed with the mountain. So I don't feel like that would get in the way of this situation, because in fact, you're actively pursuing the saving people from the mountain. So that is just a flat roll. I'm hard on you today. Damn.
Yeah, you're so mean.
Yes.
Okay. But the dice are, I change out dice and they're being good. That's 11.
Fantastic. All right, good. You can save Hawkins. Go ahead and narrate how you do so.
I think as like I think Blaine has got me just sitting up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just so like I could just take and hold, like my hands are bleeding all over this, and like it's just like Hawkins is freaking the fuck out, and I'm like, you've got to hold still. This will take longer if you don't hold still. And like I cut and snip, and eventually like Hawkins gets free of all this, and like he's battered and just torn to shreds, but like he'll live.
All right, very good. We currently have 8 clues. Do we want to go for more, or do we want to take a stab at answering the question now?
Say it's the question. This is ripping us apart. I'm doing okay, but this is ripping us apart.
Everyone else is having a bad time.
Yeah, we're just, yeah.
Ellis is fine.
Other than Ellis, who's doing awesome. Guys, you're gonna love my new friend that I made out here. He's really cool. I don't know what he's saying most of the time, but he seems pretty chill.
Where did he go?
He was right here, I swear to God.
So you guys do want to answer the question now?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's take 10. When we come back, we will hear a theory. All right, I believe we have a theory in place for if the helicopter crew is alive or dead. What are we looking at?
Oh no, my microphone.
Well, Alex, well, that works out well. It's like a Trebek insert because your name is Alex as well.
Anyways, yeah, no kidding.
Have we got news for you, Bucko?
They're alive.
They're alive.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Well, they're alive, but they're being used as bait.
That makes sense.
We know that they're alive because we've seen like people running away from us. We've seen them being tied to a tree, being used as bait. We've also know that the bronze dagger darts don't actually kill us, but rather disable us. Like in terms of like the sort of a crows being calling out in distress, that's also just them getting trapped in the traps, such as like because like Roderick mentioned like the sort of sound that's similar to some bird.
So we're establishing that maybe on the other side, as the Wheatley camera saw, there's something that we're going to call an agony of crows. They're literally just crows that scream whenever people are in pain in like the other world. So it's like, okay, that's fun. That's
cool as hell. Mm. What?
Because I'm like, you saw like through the Wheatley camera. Oh, so I just like the idea of like, you saw on the other side, there are just these birds that just cry out in agony when people in the other dimension, like on your dimension, on your side, they just like scream out in agony. So I think that's a fun way to handle that.
Oh, that's delightful.
Fun, yeah.
And this is going to be a weird one, but the white t-shirt hanging from the boar's tusk, I think that's also indicative that they're alive because it's not a bloody t-shirt.
Well, it had blood on it, but like, it wasn't like a ton of blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a guy's bod. It wasn't like a whole torso.
No.
Yeah.
So, okay. That makes sense. They were chased. Gotcha.
And speaking of the other side, the spiral of increasing altitude numbers. So it's kind of like a topography map for these hunters because they're transdimensional hunters. They seem to kind of pop out of nowhere in front of Mike and Dallas. So all these numbers are different sort of portal points.
Fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
Transdimensional hunting show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. We got two more clues on the docket.
I think like in general, like, the one dead human that we did find, I think I think that's just more or less like, oh, we're trying to use these people as bait, but however, we didn't realize that they can't survive without their skin for a very long time. So like they're so like as you
Oh,
said,
they
like
were
all these
learning. Okay. All right. They were learning. So who is that dead person? Was it, it's not one of the crew members then? It's just someone else that they.
I think specifically we mentioned that it was the dad.
Oh, so it was missing its head. Okay,
Yeah.
cool. Gotcha. Okay, cool. Love that.
They didn't
Gotcha.
realize what bits we needed to loot.
Oh, they're learning. Yeah.
They're
I like
learning. Yeah,
that's
they're
fucked up.
learning.
Well, now they know.
Now they know we need heads and usually skin.
Skin. Makes
This is my
sense.
super short show.
Okay, what about the
Yeah.
branches with the sh that have been sheared off?
Oh, that's them going through because they're massive
Oh.
and
Gotcha.
they're
Makes sense.
hacking their way through.
Gotcha.
Because
Okay.
just because they can portal in doesn't mean they have the pathways, to go through. It could also be the ATVs.
Why does it say that there are nine? Oh, that's why. Okay, never mind. Yeah, you're good.
I
Yeah, there's a
was like, did we
random.
get an extra clue?
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, that's a flat roll. Who wants to take a stab at it?
You want me to roll? You feeling lucky, punk?
Yes,
What are we
please.
thinking?
We feel lucky with Dallas.
Yes,
We
Dallas is
feel.
doing the best out of the, I would say, largely, other than you and Ellis are doing the best, so.
It's okay. You can keep going if you want to. You can keep talking. I like it when people talk me up like that. Okay. We're doing a flat roll.
Yep.
Bone or blue dice?
Bone.
Bone, obviously.
Bone,
You know what we're gonna
obviously. Why do
say.
you ask queer people?
Why do I ask queer people? Okay. All right, fuckers. And bye-bye. Okay. Do we want to know?
Yes.
Legally, do I have to tell you?
Yes.
Yes.
It's contractual.
On one dice, I had a four.
Okay.
On another dice, I had a five.
So it's a nine.
Nine.
All right. I feel like the unless everyone bumps it up to a 10 with a crown usage, because you guys do have an extra crown lingering out there with the crown of the predator, then that will be correct with pursuing the opportunity is going to be more dangerous, obviously, because it sounds like to me that the still living crew members are being used as bait to attract you. So you're going to be having to walk straight into a hunter trap and in order to rescue them. So it's either the guaranteed spend of crowns now to ensure that it's an easy pursuit, or it's the possible no spending of crowns or cascading spending of crowns in pursuing a dangerous opportunity. So I'll let you guys ruminate on what you want to do there for a second.
So, if we think about it, gang, chaotic is in a hole when it comes to crowns, right? We have a free crown just chilling there that's gonna disappear if we don't use it now.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Could Chaotic use that one and then we'll
Or I
use
mean,
our own?
it could also theoretically be used while pursuing the dangerous
Yeah.
opportunity like that. It could, you know, you there, you know, I'm not. I mean, let me be clear. I'm not trying to push you one way or the other on this. I'm just trying to
Oh,
make sure you
no.
guys are thinking about
Yeah.
it.
Yes, no,
Yeah.
this is
Yeah.
important. This late in the game, this is incredibly important because I have three crowns until I retire, Mr. Lops.
I've got
And wait,
six
we've got two.
crowns.
Dallas has six.
Get all the crowns! Get all
Ellis
the
has a
crowns!
bajillion. What if we just send Dallas and Ellis into it? Just go. Go. We'll stay
We
back. We'll chill.
Just on hand. Why do you have so many hats? He keeps going.
Like if we just send like Dallas and Ellis in to resolve this and like
Yeah.
Mike goes home.
That's true.
I mean, to be fair, Mike has a leg that doesn't work. So Roderick could be helping him with that. Well, they stay the fuck back.
All right, so no crown spent.
What's the vote? I'm down with either.
I don't mind, but you know.
All right.
But either chaotic or B's going to take a hit.
Yeah.
I also want Ellis and Dallas to interact. I want to shove this weird man at you.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a no vote.
All right. All right. Fair enough. Then in that case, Roderick and Mike are going to make for the extraction point back at the ridge while Dallas and Ellis handle the saving of the NFS employees. Dallas and Ellis tell, well, you know, Roderick, you guys will have to meet up at some point. Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, let's establish, like, what happens there and what happens with these civilians who are the revenge posse. I think that they're not going to be talked down. So if your goal is, and they want to hunt this thing down, if your goal is to go save people and might draw their attention, well, they might as well, they're going to insist that they're coming along with you. So you will have this posse of people to fight back with. If you two, unless you two want to do something to get away from them or something. I don't know. You have, it looks like you're having thoughts, Wes.
It's perfect for me, because if they're a distraction, I think I can get one by using some moves. I can get one, but I can't get two. But I can definitely rescue one.
I can definitely rescue. I've got state-of-the-art everything still, so I could probably, now that we've all like kind of circled up and like kind of gathered together and everything like that, I could probably call it. Yeah, I totally could. I could call in the Wilderness Boys start extracting people.
This is true.
Or to provide backup for us to start extracting people.
Cool.
And also, I think since we all like meet up, I've got like two uses left on a first aid kit, and I'm not going out there because I'm fucked up on a few things and probably not great at this great at first aid right now, but
you got me fucked up.
Yeah. He will pull Dallas aside and like, hey, I got an extra, do you know how to do first aid?
And I think Dallas Bartmoss is going to have a flashback.
Oh, very nice.
And that question rings in Dallas Bartmoss's ears as we see up on that Finnish mountain, desolate tundra lay all around it. People trapped together, stuck in this windstorm. And we see Dallas doing CPR over and over on one of the fellow expedition members on this expedition that Dallas has talked about before, being stuck on this mountain. And then trying to figure out exactly why it's not working on this person. And then feeling a poke in Dallas's hand and realizing pulling up one of these darts and seeing them as it has hit near somebody's heart and it has paralyzed them, made them comatose.
Whoa.
And so that's for a mountain clue.
Oh.
Because of the flashback move that was given to me.
Yeah.
Damn.
A long time ago.
Add that mountain clue to the list, bringing us one away from... I'm going to tell you guys this right now, right? If we get one more mountain clue during this final resolution of sequences, that means the next thing we do is starting the end of the campaign after the next out of the woods phase. But if you don't get a mountain clue during that, means that means there's going to be another whole rescue before things come to a head. So I'll let you guys think about that for a moment, because that's something to consider.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Love that. Okay. So just to be clear what's happening, it sounds like Ellis and Dallas are going to go rescue people. Roderick is taking Mike back to the extraction point.
Mm-hmm. And he's giving Dallas one of his first aid kits.
Dallas just nods and says, yeah.
If you
know first aid.
If you mark off one of your uses of first aid, I'll allow Dallas to add a single use first aid kit to his personal items. So you go ahead and check off one box. You can add it to your personal items.
Good.
Just before we get started, how many map clues have we gotten from this this rescue alone?
Three.
Okay. So whenever there's a mountain clue introduced, Ellis gets a plus two to composure with no maxim.
So you currently have a plus six to composure?
Oh, yeah, he's getting these guys.
What? I think that's a little broken there.
Fabulous.
I don't think when I wrote that, I thought we'd get three mountain clues per session. Per rescue.
I think it's perfectly written because, like, as a character that can't interact with the other, I think that's dope.
I mean, it's per scenario. And, like, again, we haven't really had a situation where we've gotten, like, this many mountain clues in the same rescue. That's a first, for sure. I'm going to let that ride for now. That might be a thing that's changed. I don't know. It's up to you as the designer. But I feel like I'll let it ride in our game.
I can see making it plus one.
Maybe, yeah.
No limit. Plus one. Then the max is plus five.
But for this, I'll say you get the plus. We're going to keep it as written. We'll keep it as the absurd plus six of the roll. Because why not, right? And yeah, okay, cool. So are you summoning the Wilderness Boys, Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're calling them in.
Great. I assume they're going to be, they can do any, okay, so it's, they can do any of the following. It's just that you can, okay, it's not you pick one, it's just that they can do those things. Gotcha.
They can do those things. Now we have them on asset acquisition.
Fantastic. Please narrate what it looks like when the Wilderness Boys arrive in the forest.
I think the opening of Avengers Age of Ultron, but instead of the Avengers rolling through this like snowy Eastern European mountain, just on this main mountainside, like this forest, we hear like the whole time Chief Rezeki has been hanging and searching the perimeter and hasn't been hanging around us. And I think we see Dallas take the first aid and go, I can handle first aid. And I've got some backup of my own, and just presses like a button on the backpack signal, and just profile shot buggy, like snowmobiles going through the fucking snow, chasing through and then circling around us. And then you just hear a Wilderness Boys, asset acquisition. We got some civvies out in these woods. Cover me and Ellis here. And I'm going to clap a hand on Ellis's back.
Fantastic.
Ellis, these are the WBs, the Wilderness Boys. Yes, there are girls in the Wilderness Boys. It's gender neutral.
So it sounds like to me, I think what the call to make is that the Revenge Posse are not going to be really like a consideration here, because like you have the Wilderness Boys on point as well. Like no one's really in any danger here from that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stacked in that way. But Mike and Roderick, you two are making the return escape. The rain's coming down pretty thick now. And there is a tangible issue of some flash flooding, because when you get, I'm going to say that we cut to you helping Mike through the forest, Roderick, and getting back towards that ridge line, getting back towards Hannah Brook. And the banks of the stream are now bursting at the seams as the flash flooding from the rain has increased its flow. Flashbacks to the missing camper or the lost camper when we had a flooded stream to cross at the end of that too, back then. You can see it. There's rain coming down like thunder, rippling through the skies, distant flashes of lightning in the dark, clouds, and the ridge lines up ahead, but you're carrying dead weight and you got to cross this flooded brook. How are you guys approaching the situation?
And there's no way around, I'm assuming. Nope. Like on the maps, because Roddy wouldn't know that, but he would like, Mike, is there?
No.
Okay, shit. All right.
But I have prepared for this scenario from last time, because Thank because God. I do have in my personal items wet weather gear.
Yes, you do.
So do I.
Yeah, I think like it includes like ropes and like stuff prepared for flash flooding as like sort of I knew like we got where we're going to have to cross this path of previously, as well as like just the this area floods a lot, so like I think I've set up so like that there is like a rope going across to just like hold on to, as well as like just general gear for keeping us dry and just so we don't get swept away. I'm still gonna need Roddy's help because like
I'm gonna allow some stacking of moves here in that because honestly, you guys deserve a bit of a break because well, yes, from wilderness first responder, you get to ignore your conditions, Mike. But also, I'm gonna say that Roderick's prior military service move, I will allow because I'm gonna have Mike take point on this because it's gonna be a vitality roll and you have the highest vitality. But I'll allow that Roderick's prior military service role to downgrade it from dangerous to risky if you
You
want to
read
debate
my
that.
mind, dude. I was gonna ask if I could.
Yep. Fantastic. So you make that down to risky.
I am marking wet weather gear.
Yes, you are. So you can now
Same.
take it at advantage. This is a risky move plus your vitality. What are you afraid of happening here should you fail?
Despite all the preparations, oh, I'm still gonna get swept away.
Makes sense. Make the roll with advantage plus two.
Let's go.
Go, boys.
That is a 12.
Go ahead and narrate your daring escape to the extraction site. I feel like the call has already been made it's time for the extraction and that people are coming. So the I think the helicopter is going to be it is in the process of arriving in the throes of the storm. So go ahead and narrate what happens. I will ask you this. You because I normally give out clues on an extra advantage. But you're done resolving the scenario. The extra advantage, I don't know how I could clear a condition with dead leg for you. But if you have an advantage in mind, I'm listening.
I think just because like this has been already set up, I think just when Ellis and Dallas are extracting at this point, they don't need to make a roll.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Then you're clear. So go ahead and narrate this Hollywood blockbuster disaster movie, triumphant escape.
Yeah, I think like the like I think Roddy has like effectively tied us together just to like give support but also like hold on because we like Roddy can't hold on and support me at the same time like with hands and whatnot, so like we're bracing ourselves step by step, me limping my dead leg along down like the stream at like it's up to like our chests and it's like we're holding your heads above the water and it's just the rain is coming down step by step very carefully across.
Fantastic. And fuck it, Roderick, throw in some narration in there as well about this daring escape.
Yes, fabulous. It's Roderick is also limping because he does have a massive hole in his foot. But not as bad as Mike. And so they're both sort of, and they drag themselves, both of them, out of this river with the rope and the handles. They both look like wet rats, utterly drenched but alive. Miraculously, it's baptism like that they have made it out. And for a second, Roderick thinks to like check on Dallas, like with the comms, but he doesn't want to distract them from what is certainly going to be an incredibly dangerous situation. They have the wilderness boys and a very strange hermit that he found, so it's fine. And so you see him hover over the walkie, and then he lets go and puts it back and helps Mike into the chopper.
There is a flash of lightning, and we cut to the Wilderness Boys, Dallas and Ellis moving through the trees. And I feel like Chief Rezeki, by your side, Dallas, kind of looks at you and under his breath says with a head nod towards Ellis, "Who's the weirdo?"
Apparently somebody Roddy found. Seems very not here, I guess is the best way to put it, the most polite way to put it.
I've seen soldiers with a shell shock more present than him.
Hey, I'm gonna go get the one tied to the tree because I went to third grade with her mama. All right, I'll see you later.
Okay, yeah, for sure. I think we need to bag him and tag him when we're done. You know, for some questions for Prism.
Understood. And then he kind of gets like this far off look like, "So you're throwing in with them?"
Well, what do you think, Rezeki? I've said yes, but like, no overhead. My important work, my life's work, taken care of, and there's no board of directors, no investors or anything. It's just work. It's something I've always wanted, to help people, finally. No holds bars.
You sign my checks, I don't complain. He cocks his gun.
That's not fair at all. That's not the kind of business I want to work at all. It just keeps on walking. It's like, I want this to be an open place.
Ellis,
culture is so toxic.
Ellis, you arrive in this rather, this oval-shaped patch of moss and knee-high ferns, this little glade where you had seen this person tied to a tree. The sky overhead is dark and roiling with the storm in stark contrast to the green below. Let's paint the scene. It is very quiet here. What are some of the normal sounds you should be hearing but don't?
We don't hear the rain falling.
No birds shouting at each other.
Don't hear the guy that's tied to the tree struggling.
Jeez, hurt you.
You know what? Actually, we're leaving it at that. That's it.
It's actually not a man tied to the tree. It's a woman, 35 years old, approximately, dressed in a dark green forester uniform with dark hair that's been cut short. It looks like her foot has been injured. There's kind of like blood soaking into the sock. It's bent at a weird angle, and she's been lashed to the tree pretty firmly. This is Teresa Torini, the forester of the two who are missing, and she's struggling. And as you come darting out of the woods, her eyes kind of open in like uncertainty and fear, but realizes that you're not one of them. She just goes, "Help! Help! Please help me!"
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, this is Ellis. This is Ellis. You went off after the other one. He's going after this one. Yeah.
So, what I plan to do is use Master of the Stairs to come behind her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like whisk her away. And so,
gotcha.
And I changed it to +2. It's maximum +2. I changed it to once a wilderness clue, once a mountain clue has been revealed, then I have a +2, no max to, like if I had a 5 or 3. But anyways, all it's right. Just +2, so that gives me +3. I'd like to just do that.
And okay, if, yeah.
Depending on how I roll, I kind of like to narrate it through the perspective of one of the hunters.
Love that. I'm going to say that this is the dangerous move. What are you afraid of happening here?
I am afraid that there's like more than one. Instead of just one watching her, there's a couple.
Okay, that makes sense. It's worse than that because they've already killed the other one.
The other one what?
The other person. Like they've just wrapped up killing him, and so now she's the only one left. Oh. Yeah.
So I'm gonna use to. I'm going to try to do some math here. I think I'm going to use an item. I'm going to use my orange signature tarp as a decoy. So I'm gonna ha- I'm gonna go back into the woods like I'm gonna see her, and I'm like, ah! And I'm gonna turn and run back in the woods, and I'm gonna hang the tarp. But then I'm running up a fire escape that's attached to a brick wall, and then I'm gonna come down behind her. But I'm using the orange tarp as a disc as a decoy.
All right, plus composure with advantage.
But do I get a disadvantage for being disoriented and?
No, because you're master of the stairs. So I feel like this is leaning into a territory that you're able to work with.
That is a 11.
11. Narrate what happens from the perspective of the hunters, as you mentioned.
So I don't know if there's one or two, but we see one hunter see Ellis come out of the woods, and on his meter, like, it lights up red, and like, you know, there's some text. And it's him. And so he pulls out not the trank dart, but he pulls out some kind of like scythe looking spearheaded weapon, and he starts to go after Ellis. And when he fires it, it cuts the orange tarp in half, but Ellis isn't there, and he turns back to the tree where the woman is tied, and she's gone. But on the other side of her, there's like a spiral staircase made out of like white plastic.
Dallas and the Wilderness Boys and the Hunting Revenge Posse moving through the woods, determinedly looking for the remaining person, the pilot. In the flash of lightning, you see a silhouette not too far away, illuminated in that brief flicker of light, someone running through the tree line. You're in pursuit?
I'm in pursuit.
You come across a massive log fence of just like 4 to 5 feet tall logs that have been constructed out of like freshly cut timbers. It looks like almost sheared by heavy industrial log cutters, but there's a mystery of how they got here, where they came from. They appear to be blocking the area for like quite a distance. Like, this place has been cordoned off with a palisade of wood. Let's paint the scene. How has the fence been constructed to make it so sturdy?
There are trees that have been cut down, not large ones, but like small ones, and they have been used to like dug into the ground and leaned up against the fence to make it sturdier.
Love it. Go for it.
Oh, sorry. I thought this was a paint for the scene.
No, it is. It is. I was saying love it to his. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I think that there is, like, an almost mortar-like substance in between these massive logs. And it's really unclear what it is, but it smells kind of coppery if you get a little too close.
There's, they're interlocking. So, it's like almost like some kind of wooden fort, the way that they're locked together.
I'm good.
Okay. Very good. You, in pursuit, you think you found like maybe like this is some kind of like border of their hunting grounds or something like that. Maybe they've like made this place a bit of like a threshold. But as you're in pursuit of that figure you saw running, we see the Wilderness Boys, you know, flashlights out in the rain, out in the gloom, like looking around, you're scanning the area. And we see a pair of eyes open from like the darkness of the brush and quickly try to scramble away, but there's a crunch of a branch and you spin around and this figure tries to dart away, but the Wilderness Boys are on him. They grab him. You see that it's a man in his early 60s in an olive, like drab flight suit, Wayfarer sunglasses, like, you know, kind of like tucked into the pocket. He is like covered in like smeared dirt. He looks soaked through to the bone. This is definitely the pilot. And as he's like grabbed, like his arms go up and he kind of like realizes that he's not facing down hunters. He's seeing other people. And his eyes go wide like deer caught in the headlights. This is Tony Gilka, the pilot.
Sup?
Something's out here hunting us. You gotta be quiet.
Yeah, we know, bud. But you're not the only thing being hunted. We've been hunting it and you, and we found you, and we need to get the fuck up out of here, okay?
All right. Sounds like to me that the Wilderness Boys security team, because you can help move first responders and the rescue to safety by calling in appropriate vehicles. What vehicles are those?
Appropriate vehicles? Mm-hmm. These are going to be cats, half tracks, snow plows or like that tracked vehicles that are able to make their way over treacherous terrain quickly. Mm-hmm. Just enough, like they don't have to be super high density or powered, but like to have any kind of like helicopter or anything like that would risk these hunters taking out those birds. So we're going to have ground support where the Wilderness Boys can cover.
Gotcha. Love that. That's fantastic. Getting loaded up in the cats, getting up there with Tony Gilka, who, as the Wilderness Boys begin to maneuver this thing through the dark forest, the rain pelting the windshield, the headlights mm-hmm. piercing the gloom. He doesn't look very injured, and just kind of him rambling and talking as you guys are driving through the forest explains to you that the helicopter was taken out by he didn't really see it, but it looked like a javelin, like was thrown from the forest and like took out the rotors and like the thing went down. But he did some skilled piloting to get the helicopter down in that clearing. So he didn't really get too badly injured. He's been evading them ever since with his former military training. I think there's gotta be before there's even safety. I gotta do one more thing your way, which is simply put, to echo what he's talking about, the sole remaining hunter that we knew escaped earlier, is going to throw a javelin at the cat, like is actively going to attack the transport. Like, maybe like lands from the tree line on top of the machine, stabbing down from it, like through like the metal rooftop. This would be dangerous, but you also do have covering fire, so they can downgrade the move by opening by the other, because it's like 20 fucking people. So you got like this cat, a couple others, like people are, it's a action scene happening of getting away. So this, I'm going to have you make the move, obviously. So it's going to be downgraded to risky. What is your tactic here as you're being attacked by the last, by this hunter, as you're trying to make an escape? What are you doing?
I'm going to try to lure it to stab into like towards the window, and then Dallas is going to grab the spear and pull. So using its momentum for it to fall over the side and get run over by the half track treads.
How are you trying to lure it to stab in an advantageous spot?
Acting like my side's just there ready to get pierced. Oh, don't pierce my side. But like being like, anybody got any eyes on it? Like trying to think that, like, and then like that last bit of being like, gotcha.
You know what? I was going to say that maneuver sounds like vitality, but for the sake of like yanking it down. But I like the idea of you just being a loud asshole to attract its attention. So I'll let you roll plus presence.
You already know what it is.
You are, but disadvantaged from being battered and bruised. Like, yeah, this is, okay. You've got the wind knocked out of you. This is going to be, you're exerting yourself still.
I'll take it. I'll take that disadvantage.
What are you afraid of happening here?
I'm afraid that I'm going to, it's actually going to know exactly what's happening and just going to stab me. Yeah.
Go ahead and roll.
Like stab and grab me and pull me out of the half track.
Mm-hmm.
So I take the two lowest.
Two lowest.
That is a 2
mm-hmm.
and a 6
plus
3, which makes it an 11.
You could use the mask. I mean the crown.
Yes, yeah, I would love to use the crown of the predator to bring it up to a 12 plus. Yeah.
What do you want your extra advantage to be? Because I'm kind of out of ideas. Unless you want me to just give you a fucking mountain clue for free.
A fucking mountain clue. I think. Yeah. Like as Dallas like pulls this thing, like pulls the spear through and then kicks the hunter, and you just hear the crunch. You see Dallas turn. and with the spear in hand and just yelling back to this hunter, "How do you like those fucking apples, motherfucker? Top of the fucking food chain, apex predator. Fuck you. Fuck you." And just like having like the rain whipping around and everything, just looking back.
Incredible. All right. I'll give you your 15th mountain clue. Let's see from the list here, which one do I want to do?
Here we go, baby. That's the one that we've been waiting for. Woo!
I would love to do this one, but it would kill Hank Jr. and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to do a different one. Okay.
Thank you.
Because there's one about like a slain chicken, and I'm like, well, I would have to make it Hank Jr.
Damn,
that's some John Wick shit.
Yeah. No, I feel like just on the exit from the forest, like kind of maneuvering to get to the extraction site. You just notice that the trees surrounding you are all twisted, otherworldly, and they seem to just be watching you as you pass by. Their long, drooping limbs with no leaves on them, but appear to be able to just like move on their own accord, like tendrils of the forest, just examining you and turning to watch you pass through and leave the investigation scene. And you make it to the extraction site with Tony and Teresa, load them up in the helicopter, and get the fuck out of Dodge. Here's what I'm going to say. We are going to do an out of the woods phase that does not use an unsolved scene. It will just be, we'll just get some scenes, you know, we'll make it just flat. And then before we, you know, we'll do end of session stars and wishes. And then I will do an end of session scene that will then segue into, we're going to start the mountain threat next time. So I feel like we can get through the out of the woods scene now. Without the unsolved, just kind of like do it as like, I think you guys have earned that much of a little bit of like, you know, just one flat thing with no creepiness on the side, just life. So why don't we, if we're okay running a little bit over time, not terribly too long, let's take 5 minutes. Everyone can think about their unsolved or their out of the woods prompt they want to do. Dallas, you do have a new option for you since you do have the Prism one. So if you want to spend time with Prism, that's an option for you. I'll present those to you. Otherwise, you can do any other prompt. We get to see Ellis's special one. So I'll let Daniel think about that. And then Mike and Roderick, if anyone wants to do vulnerable moves, make sure you discuss them in advance. And I will see you guys in 5. All right, so before we jump to the out of the woods phase, we do have to resolve a couple of things. I know you were looking at something with Ellis, and then we also have the rationalization move to look at. So, yeah. What's the rationalization for this entire scenario that needs to be thrown out there somehow?
Good old boys getting too fucked up.
It's stormy.
Yeah, I feel like there is a scene where we all pause in front of David and Barco and just go,
I got said off recording, but effectively Mike has lost his leg, because like the way you described it, Alex, it seemed that Blake went necrotic. So I think like just by sheer coincidence, Mike is just not there at the scene. So, like, he can't talk about, like, what happened to his leg.
We won't discuss that in front of Mr. Embargo. I think Roderick will jump on the good old boys getting too rowdy thing, because that's the only reasonable, like, you know, there's a helicopter crash, people get head injuries, get disoriented, and then, you know, you got some rowdy locals, you know. Yeah, hunting a wild boar.
Yeah, got too fucked up. Fucking, you know, Blaine probably put some fucking, you know, mushrooms in the wrong, you know, Gatorade cooler.
Yeah,
things happen.
It happens to the best of us.
I do like it being on them. Those guys
makes sense. All right. Who has the highest reason?
Not me.
I've got a zero. Me? It's you, Dallas.
Nope. Wait,
no, you got a negative one. I got a
negative one.
God damn. Okay, I guess I'll roll.
I'll say that because, yeah, we said that Mike's not there, so it's just going to be Roddy. Roddy can roll just two dice, please.
Okay. That's a 3 and a 4, so that's a 7.
Nice. 7.
7.
I don't think that's good in this scenario.
First one with the highest sensitivity. Who's the highest sensitivity?
I'm tied with Roddy.
Yep, I have 2. He has 2.
Dallas also has 2.
Oh, okay, that's we're all
tied. But Dallas does have the lowest reason. If there's a tie, will continue to experience the hunters alone as a threat you will possibly face down as we go into the finale here, which will be fun to keep in mind.
So that's kind of a fun little detail.
Which is very fun because you're obsessed with predators. So that makes sense.
Yes. To say.
Don't forget that we also have the mask of the crown of the predator that was used. Flashback to when they enjoyed hunting or fishing a worthy prey that can be incorporated either this session or during next. But everyone gets to clear a condition from the rationalization move, I believe. Right or no? I thought that was a thing.
Do we? That'd be rad.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm sick. Okay.
Wait, where does it say that? I don't see where it says that.
It says.
It says on a miss.
Rationalization move 7 to 9 as above. And it says you may clear one condition related to the rescue.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So, yep. So you can each clear a condition from that by default.
Perfect.
And yeah. Ellis, if you roll 7 or higher, Ellis gets +1 XP advancement points.
Oh, fun. Cool. All right. So you choose appear 1. All right. Then we'll go into the out of the woods phase. So Dallas, are you going to be spending time with Prism?
Yes. Yes,
and
I am.
We have Ellis doing his special one. And then are Mike and Roddy doing vulnerable moves?
Yes.
Where are they doing that at?
We're going to be doing it at Mike's place. Because, Mike literally had his leg chopped off, because you can't have a necrotic leg, and gets to experience, the habitat of Mike, which is a fun and dandy thing.
His natural habitat.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's paint the scene about Mike's play, shall we? Mike is currently out of several items that are for everyday use. But he needs them. What are they, and what has he been using in substitution?
I'm going to say he's out of milk. So he's got no milk. And so what Mike has been doing to substitute for milk is he's got some powdered carnation milk, and he's been adding like water to it for his cornflakes or whatever he's eating. So he's got this really clumpy, watery milk.
Oh my god.
Mike recently found out that if you run out of toilet paper, Kleenex works just as well and also feels better on your bum.
God, you stole mine. I hate you.
Jesus. I think Mike's out of toothpaste and just straight up using baking soda. Just like straight baking soda on his teeth. Makes him real white.
I think this is getting a little bit more eccentric for Mike because like I think he's run out of like just like notebook paper and whatnot. So like he's been taking to writing on the walls, so Mike's not doing hot.
Is this a wellness check?
Maybe. I think it's a wellness check.
Jesus.
Get well, bitch.
Snap out of it, Mike.
We can't have two Elses.
We can't.
Then let's get this vulnerable scene between you guys. Just do a bit of role play.
So I think Roderick has, like he's not got awesome cooking skills, but like he's made some sort of casserole or something for Mike as like a, hey, I know you're down. Here's some like pre-made food. You know, it's that standard thing. He's offered to come over and, you know, see how he's doing, help him out if need be. And this is the first time he has been in Mike's house, and he does like when he sees writing on the wall, at first he's like, surely this is some sort of like decor choice. And then he realizes it's not, and he just kind of stops in the doorway. He's like, hey Mike, how you doing?
Getting by. Like Mike has effectively like a new prosthetic. Like I think it's been like a few months since like the last rescue. But he's got this cane that you've not seen before. Still on paper duty from embargo.
I'm not shocked. He'd have everyone on paper duty if he could. Wouldn't matter. Here, I made you something. Just you can throw it away if it's not good. I will not care. It won't hurt my feelings. But and he just kind of puts it in the fridge and does notice like the lack of milk and everything. He's like, damn, he lives like this. This is okay, Mike. Can I ask? What's up with the walls? Is this sort of art project or something you got going on?
You have to promise you're not going to freak out.
Mike, there is nothing you could say to me that would freak me out.
I am
You do
having.
know this, right?
Okay.
Okay.
I am having visions about the end of the world.
Oh. Uh-huh. Okay. How so?
Well, when I go to sleep, I have dreams about the
Okay.
mountain. The mountain is going to grow and consume and crack like an egg.
Okay. Is there anything we can Westlap? Is there
I also received a cane in the mail from somewhere. I don't know where.
cane?
So,
Oh,
yes.
that's a nice gift, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, it's very stylish, you know, but I mean, you do seem to get. Do you have like fans, Mike? Like, 'cause it seems like you get random stuff in the mail.
I
Got a blog or something?
not a blog all or anything like that, but I just think that people are aware of my existence now and
Oh,
that
okay.
they must make contact with me. They know who I am.
Yeah, is there anything we can do about this end of the world thing? 'Cause that seems a bit drastic.
I believe that we need to go to that place.
Oh, no. We do not need to go anywhere where this shit's coming from.
Well, I'm going
I'm
to go
put
there.
Oh, you're not. I'm putting my foot down. You are not going there. No one's going there. Did you see
And
what comes out of those fucking portals?
I've seen, and if they are left unchecked, they will consume everything, and the world will end.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I've been receiving like various things in my mail that seem that people who think they know me think that I'm very excited about the world ending. I may be becoming a cult leader. We're unsure about that.
What that you should have started with that one. You really should have started with I'm starting a cult because like the rest of this really seems dependent on you starting a cult.
Well, I'm not the one that's getting to decide this. It's just happening. Apparently, they think I'm a reincarnation of
Oh.
something.
Are you positive you don't have some weird internet presence you don't know about? Because it seems like someone started you that or something.
I think it may be started by someone else, because apparently Whately is a pretty famous name in, like, occult circles, I guess, maybe.
Oh god, I hate this magic shit. Oh my god. Can I get some sort of certification to, like, deal with it? Is there that? I know they did that back in the 80s with the Satanic Panic. Do they still have one? I mean, that one didn't work, but, like, something?
At least not by the government. There could be other stuff online.
Oh my god, I don't want to get involved in your cult shit, Mike, and I don't want you getting involved in cult shit.
Well, I'm already involved, apparently. But they keep sending things in the mail.
Okay, well, I hope they're not bombs or something. Please be Mike.
I've already tested the in case they were bombs, because I kept on receiving an extreme amount of stuff in the mail. But however, so far, I've determined that it's A, stuff to garner my favor.
Okay.
Maybe that they hope that since the world is going to be ending, that if they join me, that they will survive. I don't know.
Okay. Listen, Mike. And he puts his hand on Mike's shoulder. I don't know what the fuck's been going on for months now. Months and months and months. And this is... out of hand is not the correct word anymore. And the only thing I give a shit about right now is the handful of people that I care about staying alive and not getting involved in some sort of world-ending, portal-opening bullshit, okay? So you have to promise me that you are not going to do anything drastic without telling me, okay?
I will...
at least give me a heads up.
I will give you a heads up as soon as I learn anything.
Okay.
It's a great place to put a cap in that. May both clear an appropriate condition. Sounds like that was Roddy's stress reliever by talking about the certification at the end there.
Tried to work it in.
Yeah, I like that. So you get to... invite him to ask you about your past, or you'll be able to get a flashback to get a clue during the mountain rescue next session. So I'll let you think on that for a moment. Let's cut over to Ellis. Which area of the other world are you spending it in?
You got the some tomb. Options. Yeah, I'm gonna go to the tomb.
The tomb of mirrors.
Yeah, and so I think.
Let me read this out loud. So this is a long chamber located in the corridors of your home away from home, which is the place you reside in the mountains of Verdigris. Down a long, wide staircase and behind huge stone double doors cracked open by an earthquake long ago. There are about 30 stone sarcophagi, and each has an obsidian black mirror mounted against the wall behind it. Gotta continue what you were saying.
So we see like a blue light shows all this, and we see coming down the stairs holding the blue light is Ellis, and he's singing to himself, or he's actually singing to the person with him, and he's trying to teach him the song. We're caught in a trap. There's no way out. No. We can't go on. Here we are. And then he says, I'm going to need you. Greeley, he says to this little person by him, I'm going to need you to hold the light over here. And he hands his glowing bioluminescent ranger badge to this little kind of slimy skin, frog-like humanoid with has huge eyes. Hold it, Greeley. I need you to hold it. And the room is pitch black. And we see these sarcophagi. A lot of them have already had their lids pushed over and they've shattered. And he says, come on over here to this one. Nope. And he looks in it. We see these long skeletons of these that are wearing armor similar to the others. No, it's not this one. Come to this one. Ah, this one. Yeah. Just hold the light, Greeley. What are you doing? Look, stand here and hold the light. I can't see in here.
Yeah, here.
Yeah, you just Don't lick it because the bioluminescence is what makes it glow.
Okay?
You lick it. We're going to be stranded in here with no light, so we have to feel our way out. And you know how that went last time. So we see him pull out this the sarcophagus. The sarcophagus is smaller, and it's from a child. But he pulls up like this this armored scale bronze vest. Looks like fish scales. And he throws it over his shoulder, and he grabs like the kid's helmet, and it's bronze, and he tries it on, and it fits. He's like, "It's all we need. Let's get out of here. Come on, let's go. Let's go back. Let's get out of here. Give me the badge."
So I assume you are marking it to obtain a grave good and add it to your personal items.
I am.
And what you described. Let's also paint the scene about the Tomb of Mirrors, shall we? The black obsidian mirrors allow you to cross over to the real world. How did you find this out, and how do you cross back over to the Tomb of Mirrors? This is really just a question for you, so I want to hear you answer that kind of.
I think he probably found this out a long time ago from light. He could see light in one of the corridors, and one of the mirrors had been activated, and he could see like a forest on the other side of the mirror, and he stepped through it, and he was back in the real world. But he's very disoriented. And he couldn't figure out how to get back to the mountains of Verdigris until he went up a staircase. And when he went up a staircase, he came back out of another mirror. And so he was able to figure it out there.
Awesome. Very good. And for our last out of the woods scene, let's jump to Dallas Bartmoss at the Prism operational headquarters here in Plymouth. This has been, this is the repurposed Wilderness Nonprofit Foundation that has been re-outfitted to serve the interest of Prism. Prism vans have loaded in various supplies, carted in new things. Let's paint the scene about the director's personal office. Looking around, what has she decorated her office with? And what gives the impression that the director is much older than she appears to be?
I think there's a picture of her with some colleagues. It's clearly like a work picture, but it is like a much older looking picture than you would think she could be in.
There's a lot of leather bound encyclopedias that she actually wrote.
She uses a whalebone cigarette holder to smoke cigarettes with.
Could you repeat the question?
Describe the director's offices and what gives the impression that she is far older than she looks.
I think she has a little shrine set up in the corner. She mentions that it's for good luck, but it seems to be a little bit more serious than that. There is various inscriptions that have been very carefully laid out, candles, incense, all of it written in a language that I don't think you would know.
Wes, I'll let you set the scene before we start role-playing here, but just for everyone, I sent this to Wes already, but I'll read it to the group. There is a special function of the Prism scene, similar to the shed or even the hospital or what we just saw with Daniel. Wes gets to make a choice here. When at the Prism operational headquarters, you can either describe how Prism kits, has like, supplies and stuff, bring stuff in, and he gets to unmark a box of state-of-the-art everything, or you can receive an object of power from their vault on loan for the duration of one rescue. Choose one from the following list and add it to your personal items: the El Paso corset, the St. Petersburg mirror, the Mumbai brazier, the Torville quill, the Mexico City jewelry box, or the other Waitley camera.
I think we see like all this stuff being offloaded and everything. And Dallas Bartmoss is looking through and checks and goes, "Did the cane arrive, by the way?" "Good, good. I'm glad.
Something on your mind, Mr. Botmos?
And you said this corset was deadly, correct?
Oh, yes, quite.
Search and rescue, not search and destroy.
Hmm.
Looking through all these things, Brazier.
If you want, I can provide you with their files if you'd like to give a cursory examination of what they're capable of.
What's that back there?
What?
The camera.
Ah, yes, the other Whately camera. We don't have a proper designation for it, but it is quite different. She passes you like a little, like a picture of not a wet plate box camera, but a 1970 style studio camera from a television studio.
Interesting. Whately, you said?
Yes, Whately. They are a bit of a frequent presence in our line of work. And Michael is their sole remaining descendant that we've been able to find thus far. The last one, Corinne, was dealt with a few years back in New England. Before her was Phineas, and, well, his status remained largely unknown, but he's out of the way. And going back, I don't need to bore you with historical lessons, Mix Bartmoss.
It's fine. I can read the files.
Yes.
Let's say we introduce a Whately to their birthright.
Well, I think that depends what you have in mind. I'd like to hear your plans before you begin to make demands of anyone. After all, remember, Dallas, I am, technically speaking, your boss.
For scientific purposes, research. Something's happening on this mountain, and I think it's important that we get Michael this camera. I think there's something hunting Michael, and it's not from around here. And I think the only way we're going to figure out what that thing is if we complete Michael.
And what do you exactly have in mind to accomplish that? To what end?
Just going to turn and look at the camera as our camera focuses on it for a moment. And yeah, I'm going to take that as an object of power for the duration of one rescue.
It goes by another name. Okay. There's a few other names other than just the other Whately camera, which is what people refer to it officially. But it's also known as the Odyssey camera. The Odyssey lens.
The Odyssey lens. The Odyssey camera. Okie dokie. That fits right here. We'll just go ahead and put that right there.
And we cut to black. Let's do end of session questions, stars and wishes. And then I'll have an end of session scene for you guys. Roddy, did you admit your wilderness skills were lacking due to a mistake?
I don't think I did either of these things.
And you did not share medical oratory. That is okay, but you did resolve a rescue, so take a point.
Yes.
Mike, did you primarily talk in single word phrases?
Not really.
Not really. Did you reluctantly describe something odd you've seen?
Technically, yes, because I did not lead with my cult's suspicions with Roderick.
You may take two. Also, because I skipped the unseen, the unsolved thing, I'm going to let everyone get an extra experience point as if you had experienced Echo in time, so you can get an extra one. So that'll let you level up, Mike, and that'll bring you one away. Dallas, did you share your wit with the first responders?
I guess so, in a way, quoting Predator, utilizing my knowledge of Predator to get through this whole thing.
I'll allow it. Did you explain yet again why you love volunteering?
No, I did not.
All right, so you can take three. And lastly, Ellis, did you primarily speak gibberish? Yes, you did. Did you strike back at the others with fierce vengeance? No, you did not. So you'll get three, but you'll also advance. Everyone advances. Very good. All right, gang. I know we're running over, but let's go ahead and jump to stars and wishes. Whoever wants to go first, please take it away.
I'm going to do mine quickly. This is a double for B and for Chaotic. I love when you guys take the fail, because the when you guys take the six or whatever you rolled, I love it. And I loved how Roddy was able to use his like medical knowledge to try to like compensate for the poison, and then Chaotic taking the hit for the leg. Mike, man. Star for the I might be a cult leader from Mike. And I like your anti snare cutting trap scene. I like how you plan that out. I like with B, I did like our scene with Ellis and the chicken and how did you know? And that was a lot of fun for me to play. For Alex, I really loved the local posse and how you kept working those guys in. One has a fucking chainsaw. And then when they realized that there were more, like a star for their reaction when they found out there were more than just one. And for Wes, a big star for just like Predator. I like the Rozicki move. And I also like the opening scene of the Avengers Age of Ultron. That was great for the Wilderness Boys. That's my stars. Wishes, let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I gotta echo a lot. Dallas, just having Rozicki just in the background, just covered and just ready to like spring on, as well as just being covered in like extinguisher foam the entire session. Just very silly. As well as just the scene with Prism. Oh my god, I'm so scared. I don't know what it means to like activate Mike. As well as like the callback to my cane of just like, oh yeah, I just keep sending Mike things, and Mike is so paranoid. Star for Roderick, who's just like, damn, Mike, you live like this. of like, as well as just like, we're gonna help out. We're gonna be a team player. We're gonna survive this together. And I'm just like, yay, we're buddies. And it's just Ellis, of like, everything you say is just unhinged, and I'm here for it. I'm like, you're like, oh yeah, I know that person's mother. I went to together with her in third grade. And I'm just like,
what?
And Alex, you're making me fight for my life every single time. Please. Oh my god, I'm so scared. I don't know what's going to happen with this final rescue. I don't know who's going to be in danger. Like I think there was an implication that one of us could be in danger. I'm scared.
Yeah, let's go with mine. Loved the Rowdy and Ellis scenes that we had. So good, really good paint the scene answers today, B. Really good stuff that really stuck out to me, especially at the crash site. Really tense, like cinematic, like action-packed scenario we had today, which was very sick. It continued from last time. Good job, Chaotic, always throwing out these things that I can just latch on to and be like, this is mine now, and like get to utilize. I love that so much. I love being able to like kind of incorporate this, like the cane and everything. It made sense that cane's gone full circle almost, because it was the cane in my brain. It was like the cane that I used that for a while when I had like the piece of like they got stuck in the trap with the piece of spike sticking through a leg. It's like, send that. It's like, yeah, you'll need, it's like a helping it out. Ellis, I love Ellis in particular using the three mirrors showed me. I saw it in the three mirrors. Did you have the chicken? A lot of like like callbacks and then calling back to it in your verdigris scene with what was your pal's name? What was your frog pal's name?
Greeley.
Greeley, like big fan of Greeley. Wish we could have had more of Greeley. Let's get plush Greeleys. Can we get plush Greeleys made? I would love that. That's all of my wishes. That's all I have wish wise.
I also wish for a Greeley plush. As you can tell, I'm fond of them. But like, oh my god, everyone did so fabulous all the time, every day, every time. It was fab, a blockbuster Hollywood movie today. Mm-hmm. You quoted a lot of Predator, and that tickled me. I love that it made sense, so much sense in character. And I love that Dallas can kind of shift from this like very goofy sort of like, but sincere, like it feels very sincere from them, to this very calculated scene with the head of Prism. Like, and it just feels so seamless. It's delicious. And I love that you and Chaotic latch onto each other's things about the other that they're doing. And then you're like, oh, of course, you know, Dallas did this because Mike did this. It's a really lovely synergy you two have with this weird, almost animosity, but not between your characters. It's absolutely fabulous. Like, and Chaotic, absolutely. I love watching negative character development, and Mike is just spiraling, and it's delicious. I did not expect the visions of the end of the world thing. Like, that actually caught me off guard. And it was, that's really cool. That is so cool. I'm so excited to see where this ends, because it's getting close. And oh my god, Ellis, I fucking love Ellis. I know I'm saying the same thing everyone said. I love Ellis. I love how he talks, because it is nonsense, but like, I understand what you're saying every time, because it like, it just tracks. And it's the fact that you like did the callback thing with the mirrors and saying you like saw us through the mirrors and knew who we were. That was so fun. That was so fun. Oh my gosh. And Alex, your NPCs are so, so rich. And I just, the fact that you could like really reasonably play this group of people and it felt so seamless and real, like that was really cool, the way you handled the hunting party. And I love the head of Prism so much. She delights me, and she's perfect. And I'm very, very excited to see what the, and every, by the way, everyone did really good mechanically this session, like really clever mechanical moves. I know I don't usually mention that because like your role playing is so fabulous and your storytelling is, but the mechanically everybody did some really cool shit. I'm excited to see what the mountains got in store for us. Oh my god.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll be quick. I mean, echoing everything that's already been said, really amused by Dallas quoting the Predator and just establishing that it's like, oh, they've seen this movie 1,000 times and they quote it front to back. And that was just a fun little bit of development. Yeah, same deal. Also very good with Mike getting hoisted up by the hunter and asking like what it wants from him, and then trying to use a distraction technique of like leaning into using his name. Something about the Whateleys, very good. The end of the world monologue was terrifying. I love that. More delicious Ellis moments, but then also we got to see Ellis fully coherent in the other side, and like talking like normally, and which was very cool. I love Greeley as well. Greeley's great. Greeley will be coming back. I will make him a side character in the mountain rescue. Fantastic. Roderick, Rowdy Roddy was great. That was a great fucking inclusion. Yeah, no, I echo that the move stacked really well here, because this became a very dangerous scenario for you guys and very climactic. And I can't believe that we kind of rushed straight towards the finale of the campaign, but it makes sense. I mean, like, as we started getting more mountain clues, you know, like I've started, you guys have just wanting to go like full embrace, like the end. I'm like, we're going to just keep generating them and just, you know, let's bring it on, because I think we all sense that like there is this like climactic feeling of, well, we might as well. Like, we, you know, this we're coming to a head. So that was great. Really loved that. So I'm very excited to be going into the mountain rescue with us next time. Very bummed though that we only got to use the one round of out of the woods phase stuff for Ellis, but I'll use a lot of those locations for the mountain rescue. Very bummed that you only get to use the prism thing once, but that's fine. You'll take the Odyssey lens, which is very fun. I'm very excited. I'm happy to find any excuse to put that stuff in this game. Yeah, that's it. Any other stars or wishes? Then before we go, 3 months ago, Hank, you drive into the mass of the Knot Vultures revving the engine of the propane tank. What is the last thought that goes through your head? What is the last thing you think of before you know the explosion's going to come and claim your life?
He's thinking of his kids and Wendy, and that he has to do this to save them.
There is a bright flash of light, but the explosion doesn't come. A sensation in your mouth like copper. Green phosphorescent dots lingering in your eyes. You feel like for a brief moment you've fallen into a pool of ice water as you are, seconds before the explosion, pulled into the other side. You find yourself standing, or rather collapsing to the floor of a stone castle-like structure. Looming over you is a tall, lithe figure with a crown of black antlers who looks down at you with a slight tilt of the head and reaches for you. You are placed in a cell, locked up behind bars as creatures of the other world haunt you, and you find yourself trapped with other people as well, in a place where time does not seem to pass the way you're used to it. Hours pass into days, pass into weeks, pass into months. Haggard, tired. What do you do, Hank? What desperate last measure do you attempt in vain to send for help? There is a small barred window in your castle's cell. What do you send out of it? What do you find, or what do you do in the hopes that maybe, just maybe, someone will come for you?
He's disoriented, and the cell has like this like a hole in it for like defecation and peeing, and at some point he hears like singing down. He hears human singing down in there, and it's some kind of a Elvis song from like Jailhouse Rock or something, but none of it makes any sense. And so he tries to talk down into this sewer tunnel, and he's like, "Who's singing down in there?" Up from the sewers, he hears somebody say, "Man, what are you doing up in there? That's like a bad place to be. You got to get out of there." "Well, I can't. I'm like it's locked. There's no way out. You're caught in a trap, dude. I'll see what I can do."
Those words linger and hang. "I'll see what I can do." And next time, the mountain rescue to save Hank begins.